And now, Don Blackwell.
We thank you for tuning into our broadcast today. In today's program, I want for us to talk about one of the fruits of the Spirit, one of those things that should be inside of every child of God. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 says, "The fruit of the Spirit is joy." Some years ago, I lived in a county where there was a congregation near us, and one of the ladies had put up a bulletin board for that congregation that dealt with the fruits of the Spirit. On the bulletin board, she had listed each of the fruits of the Spirit, and she had placed on top of each one a picture of a fruit. It is very interesting. She had placed joy right on top of a great big lemon. I don't know if she did that on purpose, but I think it was very appropriate. Because someone who goes around all the time looking like they've been eating lemons, what do they need in their life? They need a big dose of joy. They need Christian joy. I heard recently that in the Guinness Book of World Records, that one individual was able to smile for over 10 hours on one occasion. And he holds the record. I mean, just think about that. Smiling consistently for over 10 hours. Now, I don't know about you, but how long could you smile without all of a sudden turning that smile into a frown? It might be more difficult than we might think to smile for over 10 hours. But what I'm talking about today is far beyond a smile. It's far beyond that which takes place outwardly. When we're talking about joy, we're not talking about something outward necessarily. We're talking about something that lies deep within. You see, a smile may last for a few hours, but joy is something that can last eternally. At least that's what the Bible teaches us in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 16, where we're told to rejoice evermore. You see, it's not true if someone says that you can be happy all the time, but you can be joyful all the time. And there's a difference between happiness and between true joy. Well, someone may ask, what is the difference between happiness and joy? I mean, everyone, after all, wants to be happy. A few years ago, someone had written a song in the United States that said something to the effect of whatever may be going wrong in your life. The chorus said something like this, "Don't worry, be happy. It's all going to turn out okay." Well, it may turn out okay, but that doesn't make much sense to say that we can be happy all the time, because happiness depends on outward circumstances. Sometimes young people sing a song that says, "I'm downright, inright, upright, outright, happy all the time." Well, that would be good, but it's really not true, really. You cannot be happy all of the time. As a matter of fact, people who are happy all of the time, something may be wrong. I mean, happiness depends on circumstances. And circumstances are not always helpful when it comes to creating happiness in our lives. So life is filled with many ups and downs and many disappointments. And if you're looking for a time in this life when you're going to be happy all of the time, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to come up empty, because that's just not the way it is. You see, happiness depends on circumstances. For example, if it's been rainy weather, we say, "I feel so blue. I feel down." But then all of a sudden, the sun comes out and I feel good again. Now, your happiness depends on what? Whether or not the sun shines. You see, if the sun is shining, you're happy. If the sun is not shining, then you're not happy. You see, the circumstances cause you to feel that way. But not so with this word that the Apostle Paul says is one of the fruits of the Spirit, joy. Philippians 4 and 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." Rejoice in whom? He said rejoice in the Lord, not in the circumstances that you're in. Because if you're going to rejoice in your circumstances, then you're going to find difficult times along the way, because your circumstances are constantly changing. But there is one, friends, who never changes, and that's the Lord. Therefore, we can rejoice in Him. Happiness, it has been said, is like cosmetics. Joy is like character. Happiness is something that deals with the outside. Joy deals with the inside. Happiness deals with surface needs. Joy deals with the deepest needs. Happiness is like a thermometer. It registers conditions. But joy regulates conditions. Happiness evaporates in times of suffering, but joy intensifies. What I'm saying is this, friend. If you have joy in your heart, deep down inside, and you overlay that with happiness, that's marvelous. That's great to have. But what I'm also saying is this. You don't have to have happiness to have joy. And that's what we're talking about today. Joy which is eternal. Joy which comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Joy is important for several reasons. Please notice this point with me. Joy is important for several reasons. One reason that joy is important is because you will never win another person to Christ if you have a sour disposition. You never will. If someone sees that Christianity really has made no difference in your life, and it hasn't changed your outlook, and it hasn't changed your attitude and your perspective about things, do you really think that you'll ever convert that person to a saving knowledge of God's truth? Friends, it is very unlikely that you ever will. It obviously has had no effect upon you and upon your outward character that reflects something that's happening inwardly, and therefore others will likely just say, I don't want that. I don't need that. I want you to notice what David said in Psalm 51, verses 12 and 13. Not only did he ask God to restore the joy of his salvation, he asked something else. In Psalm 51, beginning in verse 12, he said, Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Now notice the next verse. Then, when you have returned the joy of my salvation, then will I teach transgressors of thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Now notice that very carefully. Then will I teach transgressors of thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. But not until that joy has been returned. You see, he had lost his fellowship with God. Therefore, he could not win other people to the Lord. Joy is really the proof outwardly of what I have inwardly, that it is for real. So we need Christian joy in order to win other people to Christ. But I'll tell you something else. Joy is necessary in living the Christian life. I mean, there are just too many difficult things that happen in life, too many disappointments that come our way without it. We need something that is deep down within us, that brings about peace in our hearts, and that is joy. Psalm 102, the psalmist said, I will serve the Lord with gladness. Nehemiah said this in Nehemiah 8 and verse 10. He said, The joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, sometimes the joy of the Lord is all that we have when we face the difficult moments in this life. Well, how do I get this joy? How do I get this joy that is something that I think all of us would desire to have? Well, it's not through this laughing theology craze that's taking place in some places in the world today. Maybe you've seen this on television where some people believe that the Holy Spirit has swept through the auditorium, and it's amazing what people will claim the Holy Spirit of God has done. It's amazing what they will attribute to the Holy Spirit. But all of a sudden, people begin rolling in the aisles and laughing uncontrollably. That's not what we're talking about. That is not only irreverent, it is ungodly. And we find nothing in the Scriptures that is remotely close to that. So what are we talking about? We're not talking about something outrageous like laughing theology, where you laugh. We're talking about something very different from this. We're talking about something that's deep down within our souls. Paul calls it joy in Galatians chapter 5. How can I get true Christian joy? I want to notice very briefly four ingredients that will help me to have true Christian joy. And I want you to notice these with me and think about these very carefully. Number one, I can have Christian joy in my heart and in my life if I know the cleansing power of Jesus Christ. You see, Paul says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, if I'm going to have true Christian joy, I'm going to have to understand the cleansing power of Jesus Christ. But not only that, I want you to notice a second thing. And let me tell you this, second ingredient in true Christian joy is so very important. The second ingredient I want to mention is a confident hope. Again, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 2, he says, also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You see that? Where is my rejoicing? Friends, my rejoicing as a Christian comes first in knowing that I'm cleansed from sin, but secondly, from my confident hope in the Lord. Number three, a third aspect or third ingredient of Christian joy is commitment. Again, in Romans 5, listen to verse 1. Particularly, I want you to listen to the end of the verse. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever stopped to examine just what that word Lord means? What that word means in your life? It ought to relate to your commitment to Him because He is your Lord. He is your Lord. He is the one that you have submitted your life to. He is the Lord. Do we really realize the power of that word? A fourth ingredient I want to mention very briefly because we're running out of time today. But a fourth ingredient of true Christian joy is the communion that true Christians have with Christ. In Romans chapter 5, I want to skip down a little bit in the chapter to verse 11. He says, and not only so, but we also have joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. As I said at the beginning of the lesson, joy is not found in circumstances. Joy is found in Christ. It is in Him. That's why Paul could say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. In John 17 and 13, Jesus said, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak to the world, that they might have joy fulfilled in themselves. Friends, does Jesus want us to be people that are hopeless, that are pessimist and gloomy? Not at all. He wants us to be people who are His children, who are living faithfully, and who have joy deep down inside of us, despite the circumstances that surround us.